How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends.
With Susie Ruffle and Tom Allen.
This week we will be talking about books. Maybe gay books.
Some gay books.
Some gay books. Books liked by gay... Books liked by us. Have you read many gay books, Susie?
I've read some, yeah. I've read a lot of Sarah Waters, classic lesbian.
Oh, classic lesbian. Does that mean a classic lesbian? What does that mean? That she's dressed in old-fashioned clothing?
Do you mean it works both for her?
Okay, fine.
Because she does write about... It could be considered classic.
Mm-hmm.
And she could be considered a classic.
Oh, okay. What is it all about?
Generally, there'll be a character that's out and fine with it. Then there'll be a character who's probably married in like the 50s.
Oh, so it's a period thing.
It's a period thing. So consistently, you know, there's a wartime one, there's one in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in the 30s maybe. They're just doing around the place.
The 20s, the 30s. I'd like if you just listed all the decades. The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and 90s. What's her famous one?
Tipping the Velvet.
I thought so. Okay. You see, I should have watched that, shouldn't I, when that was on television?
It was very good. I had sort of a moment with it. That sounds really rude.
No, dear, no.
I remember seeing it and being a bit, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think I might be a bit like that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. What, Victorian?
Victorian, yeah.
Yeah.
A performer, a music hall star. That's what it's about. One of them's in the music hall, which I love.
I think I remember this, yes.
I mean, it's great. It's really great. They're doing there's a play of it at the moment that's touring the country.
Oh, they are. Really? Taking it to the nth degree.
Yeah, that. Mm. Do you read a lot of gay books?
Well, the books themselves aren't actually gay because the book can't have us anyway. I was doing, as you were saying, Sarah Waters, I suppose Alan Hollinghurst is the equivalent of that in sort of gay terms, maybe.
Okay, and what maybe. Does he write about? Gays. I've not read any of his.
Well, you know what? I was going to try and lie and say I've read all of his. I've only read The Line of Beauty, which I think won the Booker Prize. One of them prizes, you know, that the books win.
Yep.
The Line of Beauty. And they turned it into a TV serial with Matthew from Downton Abbey. Is it Dan Stevens? I've got no idea. I don't know. That's probably wrong. But I never watched the adaptation, but I did read the book, and I liked it, actually. It's all sort of set in the 80s, in sort of around Hampstead and sort of North London. And like the character in The Line of Beauty, he lives with a Tory minister. And there's like one scene where Maggie Thatcher comes around for a piano recital. And it's kind of, that's, I don't know, yeah, it's they're good. I mean, I don't know if I related to it directly. It all had this sort of Oxbridge thing.
Right.
Which I think like in a lot of literature, like to be...
Or not to be.
To be is a question. But also, like, you seem to have had to go to Oxbridge or live on, like, a council estate in the north and be a boxer to be an interesting game. Nothing else seems to kind of cut the mustard.
Nothing else in between.
Yeah, nothing else in between.
That is true. Well, you gave me Tales of the City, didn't you?
Well, Tales of the City I do love, yeah.
I really like as well, which is by...
Have you read by Armistead Maupin? Oh, that's how I say it.
Yeah, Tom had to say that bit because...
It might not be right.
Every time I say it, I'm sure it's wrong.
Well... but are you enjoying them?
Yes, I've read maybe six of them.
Oh, that's...
Or five of them.
Okay, so you've read the original bulk of them.
Yes, five, yeah. Which I loved. They're great.
Really, really good.
If you've not read it, it's set in San Francisco.
Oh, they're so great.
It's just so cool and everyone's a bit... There's gay characters and there's lesbian characters and there's straight characters and there's a trans character, which must have been so... Forward-thinking sounds... I know that...
No, but I think it was. I think if you've never read them, they were written for... A newspaper. I can't remember which one. I don't know if it's like the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, something like that.
And they're written in quite short, sharp bursts. And so you can read them. They're kind of real page turners.
Yeah.
But I think it was the first time I read those. My friend Sid gave them to me. and sort of made me read them almost. And I think it was the first time I'd ever gone, oh, so you can be like happy and gay. Like,
yeah, because a lot of those gay books and like gay movies or TV shows, there is always sort of a sideline of it being like, this person's gay. They're also, their life's also slightly tragic.
Yeah, there's always something tragic about it. And even the sort of sadder moments that come into those books are still kind of dealt with in this sort of this kind of wave of positivity. Everything's like, you can live the life, whatever life you want to live, and be happy and be still be funny and quirky.
Yeah.
It's not all...
I read them very recently.
Right.
At your suggestion.
Thank you.
No problem. But I think if I had read them when I was sort of 17, 18, I would have found them enormously liberating.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I think they're great. They're really great.
Did you ever read any, like, gay literature as a teenager?
No, not really. I would watch sort of... I didn't at all. I was so... I would have been very scared of someone finding that.
Yeah. So I mean, I used to sometimes flick to the underwear section of the Littlewoods catalogue. But
oh, no, I would
do the same. I think that counts as gay literature.
I would do the same as that.
But yeah, you'd be scared of someone finding it.
Yeah. I remember staying up late to watch Queer as Folk.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that.
Because I knew they weren't the same gays as me, but I knew that I somehow related to them.
Well, yeah, I've never met anybody quite like those gays.
No.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm really doing it. That's the line I remember Nathan saying. Oh, you're talking about the American one?
No, I'm talking about the British one.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I did like it. I did like it. I did watch it avidly. I suppose I just sort of sometimes think, it sort of conditioned me to think, oh God, I've got to be like that if I'm going to be gay.
Yeah, I think it does.
I've always felt like I haven't lived up to it. But that's probably unfair, the pressure on that show to be like, as the first thing.
And also, yeah, there must be an enormous pressure to be like, represent everyone.
Yeah.
And then I would be the first person to say, like, when people say, oh, you know, you represent lesbians. I'm like, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
I mean, you know.
No, but I represent me.
Sure, that you do. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
There must have been that. There must have been a huge pressure on the writers and the actors in Queer as Folk to sort of...
We're doing it. We're really doing it.
That.
I'm really doing it, I think is what he says. Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of that. I mean, I really enjoyed... she had a very forward-thinking English teacher who made us read 2 Weeks with the Queen. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
And it's about an Australian boy who comes to England on a trip and he thinks he's going to meet the Queen, but he doesn't. But he ends up meeting a gay man who I think has a partner who... It was all written in the 80s. I think the partner was dying of AIDS, which was,
classic.
You know, a classic sort of theme in a lot of gay literature for all of my younger years. But it was kind of quite forward-thinking of him to get us to read that. And there was no sort of homophobia in our class, actually, at that point.
Well, that was very lucky.
And then we read The Buddha of Suburbia, which is not a gay book, but does sort of explore sexuality. And I remember thinking, oh, that's all you can be. Oh, you can be different.
Oh, you can be something
different. It's not all about Jane Austen.
No, it's not.
Although, in many ways it is now. But for me, it's very much about bonnets. But that's mainly because of my driving lessons. But... Yeah, I did, and I think Alan Bennett as well. That was the big thing for me as a teenager.
Who came out very recently.
I didn't realise he did come. I mean, I think it's one of those things where he famously said, asking me what my sexual preference is like asking a man crawling through the desert what sort of water he'd like, whether he'd like Perrier or not, or still or sparkling or something, which I thought was a funny...
Yeah, but he sort of said it on the record, didn't he?
Oh, is that what? In that interview that I shared on Facebook the other day.
Did you not read it?
Of course not. No, I did read it. Is that an official coming out?
Well, I don't think it's an official coming out, but I think he sort of spoke about it more openly than he had before.
Oh, I see. Yeah. 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 I mean, just like how honest he is about things.
Yeah. He's great. I like a lot of his work.
I remember reading Talking Heads.
Yeah.
And loving them. And then we got to the monologue called A Chip in the Sugar. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
A go-to monologue for the closeted homosexual teenager.
Oh.
If you were auditioning for drama school circa 2001, as indeed I was. And you don't, like, as a teenager, I didn't realise, like, why was this man so fond of his mother? And then at the end, they have an argument, and he says, I'm just reading my books. And she says, you're not reading your books. He says, yes, I am. They're just my chess books. Chess men. And you go, oh, so he's gay as well. And I didn't realise I'd been reading about a gay character. It was a very sort of, like, I remember it being, like, a very powerful moment.
Did you have a eureka moment?
Kind of, yeah. But it being my teenage years, it was more... Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Oh God, run away from those.
Yeah.
That's That's interesting. Because they do...
Thank you.
Because they've done a lot of sort of Alan Bennett adaptations.
Yes.
And that seems to be not that common, but it has been with Sarah Waters having a TV adaptations. They've done a fair few of them.
And I haven't always watched them because I think I always feel a thing of like, well, no, this is my special thing. And I think, I know it's Alan Bennett who said, like, good literature should feel like, what is it, a hand reaching across through the darkness, through across the ages to you, no matter when it was written.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's in Untold Stories. And he sort of compares it to stand-up, actually. He says, good stand-ups do that. They kind of reach into your moments, your intimate sort of moments of your life. And go, oh, I'm like that too. And he says that's sort of, the modern stand-up does that. But I think, so I'm always a bit like, no, I don't want to watch it with famous people in it. I just want it on my terms, how I imagine it in my mind.
Yeah, I can see what you mean about that. Although I have loved a couple of the Sarah Waters adaptations.
Oh, have you? Yeah, you're not selfish like I am with mine.
Particularly The Night Watch.
Oh.
Which is set in wartime Britain, which is a period in time that I love. I'm sure it was terrifying. But
great for dramas.
Great
is it
for
like
dramas.
Foyle's War?
A little. But Anna Maxwell Martin's in it.
Oh, well, you can't go wrong with her.
Bloody love her. She's great.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
And she's playing a lesbian. I mean, it was literally like all my birthdays had come at once. We're in wartime. Anna Maxwell Martin's in it. And she's gay. This is great. I'm never leaving the house. I'm watching this on repeat.
Was it like The Land Girls?
Yes, just like that.
Oh, really? What happens?
Well, no, she's a girl that's on, because, all the men have left.
All the men have left. A perfect setting for a lesbian drama.
Exactly.
A llama, if you will.
A llama. Yeah. So she's just someone that goes out in the night and she's sort of like, not really an air raid warden, but she sort of has to go and wander around.
A sexy air raid warden,
which obviously is one of those.
That's the other thing I always find with a lot of those adaptations. It's always like, well, I didn't think those characters were that attractive. Actually, what's like that? Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
If you read the book of it, they're supposed to be so ugly. That's the point.
Really?
They're just ugly boys who live in the countryside who just kind of end up doing this job. And the one's described as having such buck teeth that he could take something out of a jar without moving. I don't know, something like they're not supposed to be attractive. And they just sort of chose like the most handsome actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm like, but that's them. And you go, well, look, we don't have to be like, we can't just be ordinary looking. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. Do you like the film Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, of course. I haven't seen it since I saw it at the cinema.
No, me neither. I found it very emotional.
Very emotional. I mean, there's the sex scene.
Yeah.
Which isn't emotional.
No, that's
quite quick, if anything.
Yeah, and quite.
In fact, I felt a bit cheated.
A bit animal.
Very animal. Very animal in a tent. But it did make me want to go hiking, so I suppose that's no bad thing.
Have you seen any other good gay films lately?
No. No, I am trying to think if I've seen.
Did you see The Pride?
Oh, I saw Pride, yeah. Which, again, I was all reluctant to go and see, and then my friend said, no, come on. And I did really like it.
Oh, I loved it. I was such a fan of it.
You have to like it.
It made me... I mean, Imelda Staunton, again, can't go wrong.
You cannot. She could do anything.
I saw her in Gypsy a couple of weeks ago. Flawless.
Flawless. Without flaws.
Just amazing.
Without flaws. Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see a gay James Bond.
I'm not. I don't know whether that will ever happen.
I don't think it ever will. But it would be. It would be kind of fun, wouldn't it, if there was a homoerotic subtext? Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
She in the book. I think I might be wrong. Pussy Galore is supposed to be gay.
Oh really?
And then in the
film, she gets pussies galore.
Well, I don't know if that's what he was thinking. But in the book, yeah, I think she's supposed to be.
A bit sapphic.
She's supposed to be gay. Yeah, she's supposed to be a bit sapphic. And then they changed it for the film.
Of course they bloody did.
Yeah, of course they did. But that would have been interesting.
Yeah. You don't get enough... There's not enough gay people in films. It's always something... It's something quite tragic. It's always... There's never like, oh, and by the way, they're gay. But that's not really what the story's about. It's always about them being gay.
And then they were gay.
Exactly.
And that's like a full-time job. You don't get paid for it.
No.
I mean, the...
If anything, it's expensive to do.
It's expensive, all those outfits. The Wire...
Oh, yeah.
That has two gay characters in it.
Oh, does it?
Have you ever seen it?
No, I've heard
it's
great.
I only watched a bit of it. Everybody went on about how great it was, so I thought I'd better watch the first few. And, yeah, the female police officer who's like his colleague.
Mm.
He goes around to her house and she's there with her girlfriend. And I don't know if he knows she's gay at that point. I can't remember.
There's a character in House that's gay. He's played by Olivia Wilde, who is hot. My girlfriend told me that every time she comes on the screen, I make a grunting noise that's quite horrid. Apparently, she comes on the screen and I just go, mm.
Oh, that's not the noise I thought.
No, not grunting. Maybe just. No, not like barking, just like, delicious. But she's gay in house. They sort of make a thing out of it.
She's gay in house.
She's gay in house.
She's the in-house gay.
Everyone simply must
We don't
must
like
have
to
one.
Outsource. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's not enough, is there?
Well, no, I suppose there could always be more.
Do you know what? In fairness, there is quite a lot of gay male representation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to question that. I feel like I'd be doing myself out of a job, but yeah.
No.
You know.
No, I agree.
But I think, there are perhaps a few more gay men on screen, I suppose. Not particularly in narrative things, entertainment things.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
We're often seen like, oh, that's okay, but it's kind of harder, I think, for...
But gays seem to be fun. Gay boys.
Do you think there's still that perception?
I think so. Or sort of like a catty gay that's sort of quite acerbic.
Yes. Oh, yeah, very acerbic.
Which, I mean, you're very acerbic, so...
Thank you.
I mean, we say cliche, but...
I mean, cliche or what?
Cliche or what?
What other books do you like to read?
Well, of course, Noel Coward.
You've read any... He's only got a couple of novels.
Yeah, I've read bits and pieces. His songs more.
Yeah, the song's how I got into him at first. And then there's the plays. But, yeah, they're not... Nothing's explicitly gay either.
No, it's not. But it's all just... It's all quite... Clever.
It just sort of, yeah. And I think that's the thing as well, like there's sort of an aesthetic.
Mm.
But I suppose people go, well, you can't say there's a gay aesthetic. But I think it is. I remember liking him and not knowing why. And then at the end, it all sort of tied up.
Yeah.
You like Alan Bennett and Noel Coward.
Do you like Oscar Wilde? Here, have this gay card.
Kind of, yeah. It all goes, oh, but it's sort of inexplicably.
But it's very interesting because gay men seem to write very well for women. As in characters. So like, if you look at sort of stuff like Oscar Wilde, when I was training at drama school. Lady Windermere's fan, or The Importance of Being Earnest, or...
Yes.
What is it called?
Oh, my God. By.
Husband. Mm-hmm. Something husband.
I'm going to say good husband? No, what? It's terrible. I can't remember.
That's a really bad idea. I mean, I'm going to have to Google
it. Not a woman
it.
Of no importance.
Yes,
ideal husband.
No, a woman of no importance. So there's an amazing character in it called Hester Worsley. And it's sort of my dream role. Is there any people that want to put on plays listening?
To the universe.
It's a fantastic character, massively ahead of her time, American. She comes over from the States to England to meet these sort of city women, these socialites, I guess. Mm. And she comes over with the assumption they're all going to be women that are sort of forward thinking and they've got everything, so they can have opinions on things, and they can talk about art and culture.
Yeah.
And she comes over to just find they all are just very happy to sort of settle and be wives and be told what to do. By their husbands. And she's got this amazing speech where she's really calling them out and saying, like, you know, your husband's a philanderer and your husband's a drunk, and you allow this to happen. How you're sort of, you know, you're the most powerful women in the country.
Oh.
How have you allowed this to happen? And Oscar, oh my God, I remember the first time I read it, I was like, this is just such an inspiring piece of writing for a woman.
Yeah.
I did like a monologue from it once when I was at drama school, and it was just, he wrote particularly well for women.
I suppose in an age, the talking about writing for women, like I always think Ibsen with The Doll's House, we had to study that so much. And I always think, was that, you know, that was when you think like it was the only sort of representations of women, not the only, but that seems to be.
Chekhov as well. He wrote very well for women.
Yeah.
Three
Maybe
Sisters. And...
What I'm Ibsen and Oscar Wilde. There were obviously other people.
It was just the two of them.
Just the two. Yeah. No, Oscar Wilde, yeah, it was good, wasn't he?
It was good, yeah, it was good.
Have you ever been to Gaze the Word?
I love
bookshop,
Gaze the Word.
The film Pride. It's lovely there. A lot of people don't realise that's an actual bookshop. The bookshop that's featured in the film Pride actually exists. And it's in Bloomsbury, not far from King's Cross.
And you should go.
Everybody should go there. It's great. They have great cards.
And it's really nice. And the service is always lovely.
Yeah, they're great. And they're really like, oh, do you like that book? Oh, you'd like this.
Yeah.
And they have magazines. And I think I have some gay erotica literature as well, which gay erotic fiction, which I've never read.
No, but they have sort of great coffee table books.
Which I love, a coffee table book. Oh, I love it. Well, what I was going to suggest is maybe we should do the top and bottom.
The feature that we started last week and will probably never continue.
Yes, or maybe next week if we...
do bottom and top.
If we reverse the order that we've recorded them and which they go out. But, my top... Should I... No, my top five reads, I think.
Okay, go for it. Hit me.
Oh, no, I don't know if these are any good, really. But no, what I wrote them as top five books to put on your coffee table to impress people. So they're not top five gay reads.
Oh, okay, but I like this. Go.
The touring programme from Elaine Page's recent show, Page by Page by Page.
Love, love, love.
Some beautiful pictures of Dear Ilana.
I had a very funny moment with a friend when I said, oh, my God, have you heard Elaine Page has come out? And he's like, oh my God, how brave of her.
How brave at her age.
I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry, it's Ellen Page. Ellen Page has come out.
She must have got that a lot.
I am just not that good at reading.
Well, who knows what's around the corner. I would say, to impress people, oh yeah, always have a copy of The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Doesn't matter if you haven't read it. Just have it out,
yeah.
Everyone's talking about it. I would also say Wolf Hall.
Oh, yes.
Not gay at all. Well, I mean, I liked it and I'm gay. So, you know, it's a broad church.
It's a broad church.
And I think the thing is, they're both hefty tomes. So they're like 600 to 800 pages. So people will go, oh.
You're a reader.
A reader.
Yeah.
A learned. And then I would say, oh, yeah, get a copy. Oh, Mario Testino. Maybe get a Mario Testino.
Yeah.
Like Any Objections is a good one.
I've got an Anne Leibovitz book.
Oh.
Who's sort of quite a famous lesbian photographer.
Yes, yes.
And it's quite good having that out. Just like, oh, yeah, guys, I look at pictures. Sure.
Well, yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's like I read so much. Sometimes I just have to have books that are full of pictures. Who actually looks through those picture books? Maybe you look through them once.
Yeah, I've got Judy Dench's Scenes from My Life. It's excellent.
Oh, that would be a good one to have out. Does it have one of her lovely Hampstead Bazaar scarves?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, I bet it does.
And then it has that picture of her playing Ophelia in...
Oh, when she was like 23. Oh, how lovely. What
That's
a
great.
Lovely thing.
What Pictures a lovely in the middle. Thing.
What a lovely read. Maybe a copy of a Wallpaper magazine.
Oh, yeah.
A Pointless magazine.
Yeah.
Definitely get it. Put it
or
out
like
there.
Or like A Fabulous Gentleman. Is that a magazine? Fantastic Gentleman.
Fantastic Man. Yeah,
Fantastic
I like
Man.
Fantastic Man. I also enjoy...
The Lady?
The Gentlewoman, I think you're thinking of.
Yes.
Is the one that Angela Lansbury was famously on the cover with her red glasses.
Yes.
Those are nice books. Yeah, I mean, magazines that... You know, they're
just impress people.
They're just impressive. And I think a coffee table is,
like,
if nothing,
the main reason
not,
I went to see the Alexander McQueen exhibition was so I could tell people that I'd been to the Alexander McQueen exhibition.
You could have just lied. You could have got the book.
But it was great.
Was
and
it?
Guys, I went to the Alexander McQueen exhibition, so...
I don't know if you're aware, but Susie actually went to the exhibition. She was actually there.
Actually there.
So those, I think those are five. And then my bottom five, thank you, Closer magazine.
Bad.
I read it, or one of its affiliates over the summer had the headline, My Grandmother Was Killed by a Whoopee Cushion. No one is going to look up to you if you read books like that.
No, I love it when they've got things on the front like, prizes, quiz, death, real life. Oh, God.
Real life. I would say 1984. No one's going to be impressed by that. It's very depressing as a book.
Very depressing book.
It's only about 300 or 400 pages, but it still stays with me as one of the most depressing books I've ever read.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, you should read it.
You really
should read
to,
it.
Guys. You really ought to.
I would say a home-based catalogue. You get it for free.
Very dull.
Very dull. I mean, even those, you know, even they don't even have models to demonstrate things. There's nothing even to project your future happiness on.
No, absolutely not.
Bad reads. What would not be a fun read?
For a gay or just for a person?
For anyone. Or what would not be a good book to have on your
own? Gays are also people. I should make that really clear.
You just said make that really queer as well. You just need to make that really queer. I would say...
Anything racist.
Obviously,
really bad.
Anything offensive.
Mein Kampf.
Yeah, anybody... Although, if you study history, like my friend studied history at university, and so her bookshelf is full of, like, Hitler biographies, which are sort of, like, you know, core reading.
Of course.
For,
you
know, 20th century.
But then I guess if you put it under your bed, it looks even worse.
It looks even worse.
Because I always think, what if I died and someone had to come to my house and, like, mom had to... Oh, God.
Oh, it's a terrible way to find this.
Yeah, oh, God, she's a terrible racist. Thank God we didn't find that one.
So I think those are my bottom reads, yeah. So, yeah, go for it.
Okay, if you could suggest one read to people that are listening today, what would you suggest?
Tales of the City. Particularly the early ones.
Yeah.
Go for Tales of the City. They're easy to read in a really happy way. They're not light. They're not trashy. They're just very engaging and fun.
They're fun reads.
Yeah. I think they're really great. They were the most sort of role-modelling thing I read.
Well, that's a great suggestion.
Isn't it?
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that's all from us, like-minded friends, this week.
Yeah.
Please do join us again next week.
Oh, please. Goodbye.
You sound furious at the idea of them joining us. Goodbye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.